To John, the 20th chapter, and verse number 19. John 20 and 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Amen. There was fear. They were afraid that they were going to come for them, crucify them. So they barred the doors. The Upper Room Experience singing group wrote a song, "He Walked Through the Wall." Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus can walk through your wall tonight. Verse 20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, they didn't get the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't be able to receive the Holy Ghost until after his death, burial, and resurrection. But he was excited about them getting the Holy Ghost. This morning, God spoke to us in the gifts and said he was so excited to be with us in glory, and to feel what he was feeling in our worship this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word tonight. We're grateful that you want to be with us. We're grateful that you want to be with us, God. We ask your blessing upon everything that happens here. And God, you know what the needs are, and you are the supplier of all of our needs. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, on the 14th of this month is Valentine's Day, and there's a lot of people who try to make up for a whole lot of the year by candy and flowers and chocolate roses and all kinds of things, cards, just to show their affection. But, you know, should it be limited to one day? I was in the foyer this morning after service, and my wife and I were talking to a couple, and they asked a question. They said, how often do you kiss your wife? I thought that was a little, what's the word? And I know for sure that I kissed her on May 11th, 1968, because that was our marriage, and the man said, "And now you may kiss the bride." And so I remember doing that. Tonight, I would like to expand the origin of kissing. And I have done an exhaustive study on kissing. I mean, if there's anybody that knows about kissing, I do, because of my exhaustive study. And you will be the benefactor of all of the information. You benefited by what I taught this morning. Now, sit back and really reap the benefits of this study. And maybe we'll even do some demonstrations. But wait, don't start until you get the information, folks. I don't want you doing that. I will show you in the Bible the very first kiss on earth. I remember my very first kiss. I think I was about 3 years old. But you had to make sure that you took that tin foil off first. You know, well, at least I have one fan. Amen. I really thought about this, but I really can't remember, and some of you probably do. It must not have been too great, otherwise I'd still remember it. The Heritage Dictionary explains a kiss as a touch with the lips, as an expression of affection or a gratitude. Amen. Now there's a kiss and then there's a kiss. You know what I mean? I mean, my dog even, my wife actually kisses our dog. from time to time, probably more than me. You know, you kiss babies, you kiss relatives. There's four scriptures in the Bible that says that we are supposed to salute people with a holy kiss, and I'm really kind of hard to respond to that kind of scripture, but it's there. I've done a lot of weddings over the years, and the best part of the wedding is after the vows, after the ceremony, after the I do's, when I get to say, "And now you may kiss the bride." Now everybody claps their hands and shouts, you know. They're not kissing anybody, but they get excited about somebody else kissing somebody else. Remember that fairy tale when the princess kisses the toad, you know, and then the toad becomes this beautiful prince of royalty, and I discovered that I feel like I was a toad kissed by God. You know, you get to the place where, man, I'm not worthy, but he turned me into something by his kiss. Amen. Glory to God. And I believe your first kiss from God was when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. He was so excited that he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." In Genesis 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed," or to mold into a form like a potter, "man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So this is the description of how man became a living soul. He spoke everything else into existence, but man, he stooped down and formed from the dust of the ground, molded man into an image of himself. And of course, if you want a bride, you want someone that is very much like you. And when Jesus decided he was going to create a bride for himself, it was going to be in his image. Ephesians 5 and 31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery or secret, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So every time we marry somebody, it's a vivid illustration of the marriage that's going to take place in heaven in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Once God had the image of his bride formed in dust, the Bible said that he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. The word breath here in the Hebrew means to puff, inflate, blow hard. And the word nostril here means nose, face, or mouth, with rapid breathing of passion. So what God is saying is when he formed man from the dust of the earth, the first thing he did was kiss man and blow the breath of life into man. And when his bride was formed just the way he wanted, I believe God became so passionate that he put himself in that place of touching man with his lips in order to give man the life that he has. Glory to God. I want you to get the picture. I wish I could show you. Is there a volunteer here? Brother Morant? No, I'm not going to use him. Yeah. I like you, but no. So, Tim Hoffman, I know what you asked me. How often do you kiss your wife? I don't know. What did you want this reference for? I mean, is there a minimum, or is there a maximum, or is it when you get old like my wife and I that's all over? Come here. Now, does she seem more alive to you? Encore. And so it was that flesh was made alive. Amen. I see you young people. I know. Hallelujah. There's something about when you fall in love, there's a passion. But God also had a plan for a new regenerated bride. It wasn't just Adam in the dust. A bride out of the house of women like Esther was taken out of the house of women for the king. Amen. There were a lot of women who applied for the job, but there was only one woman that he cared for, and that was the one who made herself ready. There are lots of churches out there that want to get close, but there's only one church that God wants to kiss. Hallelujah. The one who made it legitimate, the one who was baptized in his name. Now he has a right to kiss you all of the time, if you will. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. In that bride, God would then put a new heart and a new spirit within that bride. We have all had that experience where now we just want to live for God. We have an appetite for God. We have a desire to be more like God. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And from the time God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he was looking forward to breathing a new spirit into a new bride, not just the old one, but a brand new one, purchased people who would show forth the praises of him who brought them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Someone who was formed or would conform to the word of God. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, but the new bride he would form through his word, that we would conform to his image, and that's the one he wants to kiss. Amen. Jesus was eagerly waiting for that day. God told us this morning, he's eagerly waiting for the day that we can be together in glory. The word breathed here in John 20 and 22 is to blow on, and Jesus blew on his disciples and said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. My paraphrase is, I'll kiss you after the ceremony. That's really what he's saying. Don't forget, right after the ceremony, in that upper room, there's going to be that rushing mighty wind. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to kiss 120 people right now, and I'm looking for more. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was teaching a Bible study at my home about the Holy Ghost when God gave me this incredible vision and picture that I had never seen before, and it was his mouth on my mouth as he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but really, the Holy Ghost is the holy breath of God. He breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, it just didn't come out of a, you know, some kind of tube from heaven. I believe there was a personal touch from God. Amen. If you look at the Psalm of Solomon, you find that there's a king who dressed himself as a peasant, a shepherd, and came into the city to find true love. And he didn't want somebody to, well, love him because he was king, because he was wealthy, but because of simple love. And that's what God is looking for right now. He had been waiting for years to see me walk to an altar, ready to conform to his image. And when that happened, when it happened to you, I'm telling you what, it was in a most intimate moment. I remember that day. I remember that first kiss of of God. And now the words could be heard from heaven, and you may now kiss the bride. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God rushed into the room where they were all sitting. His breath was like a mighty rushing wind. God breathed hard in anticipation of what was going to happen in forming his new bride in an upper room. Romans 8:11 says that it was a quickening spirit to make alive that which was dead. Isn't it amazing how we didn't really care about religion? We didn't care about the Word of God. We didn't care about going to church. But that kiss changed everything. It was the breath of God within us that says, hey, I'm quickened. I'm alive to the things that I never thought I could be alive to before. And Jesus put his mouth on 120 people who would be his bride. And you need to get that picture. We're talking about an intimate God. We're not talking about a God that's arm's length. We're not talking about a God that doesn't want to interact. We're not talking about a God that doesn't want to be passionate and intimate with each and every one of us. That's what he died for, so he could have that relationship. At the dedication of Solomon's temple in 1 Kings 8 and 10, it says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And then in Acts, the second chapter, the church had been completed. Just like the temple was completed in the Old Testament, now the church was all set in place. It was completed. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and the identical thing happened as in Solomon's temple. Suddenly, there came a sound, a loud sound or a roar from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So when the house is complete, when the house is finished, when everything is set in place, when we've made the commitments, when we have already said, that's the dress I'm going to wear for eternity, when we said, I'm going to walk down that aisle, I'm going to make a commitment, I'm going to make some vows to him, then all of a sudden, there's a voice from heaven that says, and now, you may kiss the bride. Whenever someone builds a house for the name of the Lord, God always takes up residency. It takes some effort to build that house, to make it ready for occupancy. He just won't move into any old shack. Well, this is good enough. This is as far as I'm going. I know others have gone further, but I'm only going to this point. But I'm telling you, if you really want to have a romance with God, you're going to have to conform to his image. That's who he's looking for. He's not looking for part-time Christians, part-way Christians. We can't just live any way we want and expect Jesus to live inside of us. We clean our house for guests that come over. What about a permanent resident? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, if in his presence there is fullness of joy, what about when God fills his house? We should have that joy. We should have that pleasure forevermore. It's not just when we come to his house. It's not just when the priest came into a temple. But when he comes into the temple, there should be joy forevermore. There should be a satisfaction and a completeness because we are made complete in him. Hallelujah. You know, I look back to the days that we were dating I guess it's very similar to anybody, but you can't wait to spend time with the one that you want to marry. And of course, after you get married, you want the same. It's a relationship. It's a marriage. That's what we have. We have a marriage with our God. The priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And it sounds like these priests were falling down drunk, if you will. They could not minister. In Acts 2 and 13, it says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 15, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. When you get to the place where God starts kissing you, when you get to the place where you're complete in him, all of a sudden you're not going to act like you used to. When you're so in love, you do things that ordinary people wouldn't do, but it's so easy to fall out of love. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's just looking for an opportunity to be intimate with each and every one of us. I have had this old saying, no PDA, you know, no public display of affection. But God's all about public display of affection. He really is. Have you ever staggered under the power of the Holy Ghost? God waited 4,000 years to pour out his intoxicating spirit. And a world that believes in getting high on alcohol and drugs and relationships and materialism wants us to sober up from our experience with God. They don't want us to get crazy. They don't want us to get intimate. They're offended by our love for God, and yet we're not supposed to be offended by their illicit things in this world. What they really need is their own dose of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you can't explain God. Sometimes you can't give them enough information out of the Scripture. They just need to come into the church and let God rub up against them. Let them be touched by the Holy Ghost. The world doesn't need better government. It doesn't need better air. It doesn't need a better economy. It doesn't need gas under $2. They need the feel, the intoxicating power of the Holy Ghost for themselves and understand how great our God is and how compassionate he is. They need a Pentecostal experience. They need his lips on theirs. I like the explanation Jesus gave of Pentecost the best. He said in John 7 and 38, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. He was so excited. In Joel, he talked about it. In Isaiah 28 and 11, he talked about it. He talked about how this is going to be such a great day. I can't wait to get my lips on them. That's what he was saying. I'm so excited, you know. If you believe on me according to the scriptures, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is the Spirit of God that's going to touch you and change you forever. Amen. Love changes you forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is like a river of pure joy, living water. We need it. We have to have that flow. Amen. We can easily come in here and do our thing without a flow of God's Spirit, and we can walk out of here as cold as when we came. A source that makes you happy when you should be sad. I don't understand it. I should be sad, but I'm happy. A source that makes you satisfied when you have very little. A continuing flow of God's Spirit, which brings life to everything that we do and excitement to everything that we have. Amen. You fall in love and the sky is bluer and the grass is greener and all the songs on the radio are better. And you know, every day is Valentine's Day and every thought is all about her, or in some cases him. And that's the way it is when you fall in love with your God. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. No joy, no water. No joy, no flow. No rivers of living water if you don't have any joy, if you don't initiate the intimacy again. The Holy Ghost is a source of all life, joy, and contentment, but we have to draw water out of the well of salvation for ourselves. You can't have the preacher just pouring buckets of water over you. You have to get your own. Amen. If you remember the story of Isaac's a servant who went to look for a wife for him and came to Rebekah, and Rebekah, well, God, he said, listen, let the woman who is willing to water my camels and me, let that be the one. And for the joy, she carried bucket after bucket out of the well and watered and watered and watered and had a good attitude towards it. And he said, surely this is the woman. She did that for someone that she had never seen before but would marry. Aren't we doing that for someone we have never seen, yet we'll draw water out of the wells of salvation, we'll get the joy, and we haven't seen them yet? Amen. There's a part of that scripture that says when Rebekah was coming on a camel, and when she saw Isaac afar off, the Bible says she fell off her camel. I'm telling you, folks, when my feet leave the ground, it's going to be like I fell off my camel when I see Jesus for the first time. Hallelujah. That river of water can never stop flowing. Out of our innermost being, we have to keep the love alive. You can't do it out of duty. You can't do it out of tradition. You can't do it because there are other saints in the church that keep coming. You got to do it because you love him. And if you don't do it because you love him, one day you'll find yourself gone. There must be a springing up from the wells of our soul. Psalms 36:9 says, for with thee is the fountain of life. Hallelujah. Let's turn to our last scripture if our musicians would come in Revelation 21. I'm sorry, Revelation 2. Verse number 1. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You know, it sounds like a good Pentecostal church. It really does. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So how often do you kiss Jesus? Please don't stop. Perhaps we need to go on some first dates. Perhaps we need to renew and refresh. Not be ashamed to worship him. I don't know if you've ever done this. And I know I've said this many times. My wife has saved all of these love letters from high school and when I was in basic training and when I went off to train in New York City for a claims adjuster, and she saved them. I don't know where they are right now. I'm sure she's hid them someplace. But I wonder, he's written us 66 letters, basically love letters. Have you ever considered, we've prayed, we've talked to God, we've worshiped him, we've sung the songs of Zion, that maybe you'd want to just sit down one afternoon and write him a letter and just pour out your heart, tell him how much you love him, and then put that letter someplace. Glory to God. And review it. Because things change from time to time. I wish I had some letters that I had written when I first came into the church that I could go back and review the excitement that I had for living for God. Because there are times when it seems like the road is a little rocky and I got to get back to a first date again. Let's go back to the basics. Vince Lombardi once said when the Packers were not doing very well, he came before them. I read this. He held up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football. Going back to basics. Church, these are love letters. They're written to each and every one of us. They're precious." Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?